this week. And of course, today is a feria, so we can say other masses as long as we remember the original prayers, which is the second collect and so forth. But this week we have so many wonderful Marian days. Of course, on Sunday we celebrated the Immaculate Conception. And today we celebrate another one of the miracles that has been wrought by God through His Most Holy Mother, the ever-Virgin Immaculate Mary. For today we celebrate the translation of the Holy House of Loreto. Now the Holy House of Loreto is the Holy House of Nazareth, where Mary was born, where she received the Annunciation of the angel, Saint Gabriel. And thus, of course, we have this, we use the proverbs of the Immaculate Conception, which have that as their gospel, in case you did not notice. It's very sad, you know, for Jews to become Jews, they have to know Hebrew. But Catholics don't know anything, even English. But anyway, it's the way it is. Nothing I can do about it. But the gospel was the Annunciation. And it is at the Holy House of Loreto that the Annunciation took place. What a wondrous event that the ever Virgin Mary, the Immaculate, who had been prepared from eternity, now receives the message of an angel, a great messenger from God Himself. And it is in that room, because the house is just basically two rooms, the front room, which is now what is the Holy House of Loreto, the back room, which doesn't exist anymore, it was a cave, and it's in Nazareth. And it is in that room, in that very same room, within those three walls, that the angel announces to Mary and basically asks her, in behalf of God the Almighty, wilt thou become the Mother of God? Hail, full of grace, as I mentioned Sunday, Peticat Domine, full of grace. And the Blessed Mother was amazed and astounded, though she was not totally ignorant of the reality. And so she asked, how is it that this could be, since I do not know man? Now, if she had planned to know man in the future, St. Joseph, for instance, when they got married, she would have not asked such a stupid question. There's not a stupid bone in the Blessed Mother. That's another story. So it would have made no sense. How can this be? Since I know not man and do not plan to know man, I am made a virginal promise to God that will last for life. And this was very common at the time of the birth of Christ. That many young men and women, not only the women, but young men, were making promises of virginity to God, because the mother and the one who would be her custodian had to be purely virgins. And so they made this promise without thinking twice about it, because it was for the glory and the love of God. So how can this be? And then the angel tells her, by the overshadowing of the Holy Spirit. Well, it was on these walls that this took place, around the year 0 or -1 or something. We don't exactly know. And then the rest is history, in a sense. Well, in the 13th century, after the Crusades failed totally because of the selfishness of men and the greed of men, the Muslims took everything over and began to destroy. what they could. So it was at this point, around the year 1291, and we know that it was 1291 because the last great saint to visit the Holy House in Nazareth was King St. Louis of France, who was also a crusader, and he became a prisoner, and later he died of the plague on his way home, never made it home. And so he was the last great leader and saint to visit. Well, the Holy House disappeared, and everybody wondered what on earth happened. But the foundations were and still are there. And so, first of all, it moved to a little town in Dalmatia, where it actually stayed for 3 years. They still have churches there dedicated to the memory of the fact that the house of Mary, of Jesus, of Joseph, was there. Oh, they were so blessed and so happy to have this great relic. And whatever the reason was, 3 years later, around the year 1294, 95, the house disappeared. And then it landed in Italy, in the province of Recanati, near the great city, the port city, even today, of Ancona, on the Adriatic Sea. In fact, from the Holy House, from the towers, one can see the Adriatic Sea. I have been there dozens of times. It is my favorite place on earth. And so the Holy House was put there. But a few days later, first of all, it was put in a hill of laurels, a forest of laurels, and thus the name Loretanum, which in English is Loreto. And because it was in the forest, it was dark, it was hidden, and sort of very open to thieves and brigands, people who went there on pilgrimage, and they immediately went, began to be assaulted and robbed by robbers, by thieves. No era is bereft of thieves. And so, whatever the case, a couple of days later, the house moved to this little hill that was the property of a family, two brothers. I don't remember the names, but the names are there in the history. You can look at it in the article I wrote for the Catholic Encyclopedia. And the two brothers began to see people are coming, and they're making offerings. Lots of money is coming in. How are we going to split the take? And they began to fight. This did not please God at all, or Our Lady. So overnight, and this was by now 1297 rather, the house disappeared again. And it landed on a highway, a street belonging to the people, not to any one individual, next to a cemetery. And of course, Italians are very superstitious. They were never billed by a cemetery. And there was a cloaca, you know, where the water came through, and the sewer, just to prove that this was not done by men, who would never put such a treasure next to a sewer or a cemetery. So the brothers, they were out, and then all of a sudden, the house became known, and since then, millions upon millions upon millions of the faithful, including almost every pope since 1297, has been there to visit the Holy House of Loreto. And I have been very privileged that on the night of December the 9th to the 10th, I have been on many occasions privileged to celebrate the Holy Sacrifice of the Mass on the altar there before the image of Our Lady of Loreto, which was originally sculpted by the evangelist St. Luke. And so today we celebrate this great miracle. Archaeology and everything proves that this is indeed 2,000 years old. The bricks or the stones are not from Recanati or Ancona or anywhere in Italy. They come from the Holy Land, and they are 2,000 years old. In between the stones, there is pollen and twigs and ferns, which are not from Italy. They're from the Holy Land. And there is no foundation. It was just placed there by the angels. And, of course, human beings would have made a foundation to make it strong, so forth and so on. No, not God. He wants to prove that this is there by His power. But if you go back, and many have gone, there was a commission that was sent of like 17 priests and bishops and theologians and engineers, and they went to Nazareth, and the foundation was there, and it matched perfectly the bottom of the holy house. It was indeed from there. And so there are many, many things to prove it, plus the miracles and miracles and miracles. Among many miracles, Blessed Pius IX, as a seminarian, he was afflicted with having fits and conniptions and so forth. And he went there to pray, and he was healed. And that made it possible for him to be ordained a priest and eventually to become Supreme Pontiff of the Church, who would proclaim the dogma of the Immaculate Conception. St. Therese of Lisieux went there and stuck her rosary inside the bowl, which was said to be of the baby Jesus. And many, many, many saints. And so we give thanks to God for this miracle. In addition, today we celebrate the feast of St. Melchiades, who was Pope around the year 311. And even though he was not killed, he suffered horribly because it was right before Constantine the Great gave freedom to the Church. So he still had to suffer for the Church, for Christ. And the third one who did suffer, a little girl from Merida in Spain, St. Eulalia, who was only about 11 or 12 years old, and she suffered horrendous pains. Her face was burned, her breasts were cut off, fire was put in her ears and eyes and nose, everything you can think of, until it was time to give up the ghost. And she is so beloved of the Spaniards for so long that one of the fathers of the Church, the theologians of the Church, wrote a hymn to her, which is 38 stanzas long. I just read it a few minutes ago. I'm not going to try to read it to you now, but it's very beautiful and tells of her woes as a young girl who would not give up the faith, who insulted the pagans, who knocked over their images and refused to just dip her finger in the salt and the ashes to offer to the pagan gods. She refused. And first of all, her finger was cut off. And then everything else happened. And then it was time for her to die. So today is a very, very special day. And we celebrate it as we approach closer and closer to the great feast of our beloved Lord, who gave strength to these saints to live, to suffer, and to die for His sake. May Our Lady of Loreto, patroness of the home, of families, and of aviators, may St. Eulalia, a great martyr of the Church, intercede for us that we may indeed be closer and closer to Christ. And may we ever live so close to Jesus, Mary, and Joseph that we could say that we live in the holy house of Loreto. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen.